Welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that is dedicated to your health and your wellness and is currently sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm Lorraine King, and today I am visiting with Rachel Ogden, who is a disease specialist with the Epidemiology and Clinical Services Department at the Health Department. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. It's that season again, the time when we encourage people to get vaccinated for influenza. Right, Rachel?
Yes.
Okay. So we know that every year there's a different strain of the flu, as we call it. And all the health departments have to make sure they get up all the information. So this time we're not talking about COVID, but it's a cousin to COVID, right?
It's similar, okay. Symptom-wise, yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. So then tell us about the flu vaccines that are circulating this year and how it differs from the ones that circulated last year.
Okay. So the flu virus is, it's circulating constantly. It does pick up in the winter season most of the time. So because it's always circulating, it's always changing as well. The CDC, the World Health Organization, are always kind of tracking the flu virus throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And then each year they try to develop a new flu vaccine that will protect against what we think is going to be the most commonly circulating virus during this winter season.
Now, Rachel, you know what that sounds like.
What?
You know, COVID's been circulating for over a couple years now,
yeah.
And it keeps mutating, and we keep coming up with these variants. And so it's similar to the flu. So we've been very successful, I think, with the flu vaccinations. And I also found out in a previous interview that it circulates year-round, kind of like COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still, we managed to stay a little bit ahead of it to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so since the flu's been around for a lot longer than COVID, I think people are just more familiar with it. They're more familiar with flu vaccines and just the idea of getting a flu vaccine every fall season. But yeah, it is similar to COVID in the sense that it is constantly circulating. Like I said earlier, it does kind of pick up in the winter season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is circulating year-round just like COVID does.
Okay, and the other thing that I learned was it circulates year-round, and so it comes to, is it the Southern Hemisphere first? And we get clues from them on what the strain is going to be in the U.S. and the Northern Hemisphere?
Probably. I don't know exactly. That sounds right, because
okay.
You know, they're experiencing a winter season at a different time than we are. So, yeah, I think we can get clues from them during their winter season,
uh-huh.
What's going to be circulating during our winter season.
Okay. And so do you have any idea how bad it might be this year, 2022, 2023?
So it's really, it's not possible to predict how bad it's going to be year to year. It just differs based on the year. So yeah, we have some seasons that it's worse than others,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But like I said, because it's constantly circulating, because it's constantly being tracked, each year we are trying, not we specifically, but, you know, people who develop vaccines are trying to, you know, come up with vaccines that will match most correctly the virus strains that are going to be circulating that particular year.
Okay.
So
with scientists doing that, how successful have they been in forecasting, you know, and adjusting the vaccine itself to attack
right.
that strain of the flu?
So similar answer to the last question, just like we can't always predict how bad the flu season is going to be,
mm-hmm.
it's also hard to predict how effective the vaccine is going to be year to year. Some years it is more effective than other years, but even in years when the vaccine is less effective,
mm-hmm.
it still is good at preventing some cases of the flu and can prevent serious illness and prevent flu outbreaks as well.
Okay. So like COVID, it doesn't keep you from getting it, but it protects you so that if you do get it, it's not as severe.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So you could still get the flu even mm-hmm. if you have been vaccinated for it. But typically it will provide protection at least against serious illness, hospitalization, death, that kind of thing.
Now, what segment of our population is most vulnerable when it comes to the flu strain that's circulating? Is it the young people, the old people, or whom?
Yeah, so it's similar with other viruses. Flu, people at higher risk for complications from the flu typically are going to be older adults or people with chronic lung conditions, chronic heart conditions. Pregnant people are a little bit more vulnerable as well.
Now, we're talking about it now, and it's November, but does the health department has a recommendation as to when people should actually start to get vaccinated?
Yes. So typically vaccination will start around September, October. The general recommendation is for everyone to be vaccinated by the end of October, which I know we just passed that a few days ago. Even if you haven't been vaccinated yet, it's still really important to get vaccinated in the coming weeks, coming months. The flu typically doesn't peak until about February, so even if you haven't been vaccinated yet, there's still time to do it. And generally, the recommendation is just do it before it starts circulating widely in your community.
Okay, now has some individuals tell me, I got the flu shot and I still got the flu. How do you explain that?
Yeah, so that does happen occasionally. Well, sometimes people start to get sick after they've gotten the flu vaccine. That's not because the vaccine gave them the flu. Mm-hmm. Usually when that happens, it's because they had already been exposed to something, either in the days or a week or so before they got the vaccine, and they were probably already going to get sick anyway. And some people can just have like a mild reaction to the flu vaccine, but usually that's not gonna last more than like a day or two.
But the bigger point I want to make is, once you get the shot, is it effective right away?
No, not right away. Okay. So it's similar with COVID. The flu vaccine, we say it takes about 2 weeks for the antibodies to fully develop in your system to provide that full protection against the circulating flu strains. So yeah, even if you've been vaccinated, you wouldn't be considered, you know, fully protected until about 2 weeks later.
Okay, so they could easily get it during that two-week period, just like with COVID, they recommend,
that's entirely possible. So that's usually what's happening if someone says, you know, they got the flu vaccine and then they still got the flu. It's probably because they were already exposed or they were maybe exposed sometime in that two-week window.
Okay, now, another question I've heard people ask is, can I get the flu vaccine at the same time as I get the COVID vaccine?
Yes, you can. Okay. Absolutely. Yep. We've done some studies on that now and have found that it's perfectly safe to get flu vaccine at the same time as either your primary series COVID vaccine or your booster COVID vaccine as well.
Would you recommend using different arms?
Probably. Yes. Yeah. Just because you can be sore, so you don't necessarily want one arm to be super sore. And
the other one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I did get mine earlier in September. I started a few years ago after I heard about it. Year round. I said, I better start getting it earlier so I haven't get, plus I'm old too. Now, what kinds of vaccines are available? Is it the same form for young children as it is for adults?
So typically, yes, there are different forms of the vaccine that you can get. There is the one people probably normally think of when they think of the flu vaccine, which would be a shot typically administered in the arm. This season, there is also a nasal spray vaccine that can be used. And that one is a little more limited in who can get it. That one's only recommended for people age, I think, between 2 and 49 years old, whereas the shot is actually recommended for people 6 months and up.
So why the difference? I mean, why wouldn't it doesn't have the same impact in preventing the flu? Or
that's a question I don't necessarily know.
Because I'm thinking 2-year-olds, I was surprised when you said 2-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So the nasal spray is not recommended for people my age in the 70s.
Correct.
It's not recommended for babies.
Yeah.
But it is recommended for toddlers.
Yes. So it's not like preferentially recommended over the shot, though. It's just an alternative option if for some reason
if somebody has the phobia about the needle.
Yeah, or, you know, there's some other potential reason that you can't get it. So definitely important to talk to your primary care provider. If you have one, they can help you decide which form of the vaccine would be the best for you to get.
So we know that you can get it in two forms. Your doctor can probably recommend which one would be more effective. So if you have a needle phobia, like I do, you would probably might go for the nasal, even though I never had the nasal because I never thought about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, now you're reminding me that that's the possibility. I might think about that next time.
Yeah. It still is only approved for that age group between 2 and 49.
Oh, so I can't. So I can only think about it, but I shouldn't get it. Now, will they not give it to someone who's over 49? And how did they pick that age range anyway?
I don't know how they picked that address.
We got to talk to the clinicians.
That's over my head, yeah. That's the researchers.
Talk to those clinicians and find out, you know, where they get. Now, one thing that I'm sure the listeners would want to know, can they get the flu shot at the health department?
Yes.
They can.
Yep. Yeah, so you can call and make an appointment, and you can come in and get your flu shot at the health department.
So you don't do walk-ins?
Not currently.
Okay. No. And so are the walk-ins like Monday through Friday? And is there a certain time frame?
Yeah, so we're open Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. The clinic hours are typically around 8:30 to 4. So I can give you the phone number as well if people want to call into the health department clinic to schedule a time to come in for the flu vaccine.
Okay, so is this phone number going to be directly to the infectious disease department?
Yep, it'll call the clinic. Okay. Yeah, so it'll get you right to the person who could schedule you
okay.
for an appointment.
What is that number? Then I'll remind our listeners again later.
It is 309-679-6655. You can call that number to schedule COVID vaccination as
well.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep, same clinic for all of them, so.
So is the health department giving the improved booster shots as well?
Yes, yep.
Oh.
The new bivalent booster shots.
Because I thought I called there and somebody told me I couldn't get it there. And I had to go online and register.
We didn't get it until maybe like a month or two ago. So
okay.
It was before that, and we may just not have had it yet.
Okay. So to remind people, they can get the COVID vaccine booster there.
Yep.
Or the regular COVID vaccination.
Yep.
As well as the influenza shot.
That is correct.
Now, at the health department, can they get both brands of the COVID vaccine?
Yep.
Pfizer and Moderna?
Yes, we have Pfizer and Moderna.
Okay, all right, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so for our listeners who may have just joined, you're listening to How Do You Feel on WPNV 106.3 on your FM dial. Today the topic is influenza and how to protect yourself for the upcoming season. Today I'm visiting with Rachel
Ogden,
who is an infectious disease specialist
yes.
with the health department. And so she has been letting our audience know that you can get the flu vaccine at the health department by appointments at this time, and also as well as your COVID vaccination.
Yeah.
Now, and also she told me there's two kinds as well. The nasal spray and the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like needles, you can opt for the nasal spray if you're between the ages of 2 and 49.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So they would turn away those others, right? And say, okay, we have to give you the shot.
Yeah, they would say the nasal spray is not recommended for you, so we'll give you the shot.
So, but I need to talk to a clinician to find out why that is, right?
Yeah, talk to your doctor to find out. Yeah, to find out why it's only recommended for certain age groups, and also about which vaccine would be the best for you to get.
Okay. Now, the other thing that I wanted to bring up, we're going to talk about the flu a little more, but I understand that the health department is making some changes. Big changes. Can you share with our listeners what those are?
Yeah, so we are getting a new building coming up. So pretty soon, the building will be gone, and they're rebuilding a new building on the same property, same address, but it will be, you know, a couple years. I think like a year and a half or so.
Is it going to be a lot bigger?
It is going to be bigger, yeah, because it'll also include, I believe, the Regional Office of Education and the coroner as well.
Well, they're going to need some more property because where are those people going to park?
I think they've got it all figured out. The architects are working on that.
Okay. And then there's going to be a celebration about that, isn't there?
Yes, yeah. There's a groundbreaking ceremony on November 15th.
At what time?
I think it's at 2 p.m. I would have to check that again. But, yeah, that's coming up here in the next couple weeks.
So it's just to announce it. So, but it won't start until later. And it's going to be at the same site. And we're still going to have plenty of free parking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So in the interim, when the building is... You know, our old building, our current building is taken down, and they're building our new building. Mm-hmm. The departments will be kind of spread out throughout the county. We're going to, you know, different offices throughout. But when the new building is complete, we will be at the same location as we are now.
Okay, so the public can find out, you know, where each department is going to be once the rebuilding starts. We're just going to demolish the old building and get us a completely brand new building.
Yes.
You're going to take our records out first, right?
Yeah, yeah. That is currently in the process of happening right now.
Okay. Now, also, you recommend in our conversation that people check their website. So do you want to share that information with us, what the website is for the health department?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is pcchd.org. You can go there to check on our clinic hours, times that you can come in for flu vaccines, COVID vaccines. We do a lot of, we have a lot of other services as well. So, you can check that for anything you might be interested in about the health department and what we do.
Okay. So that's pcchd.org.
Yep.
Or you can call that phone number 309-679-6655.
Mm-hmm.
And they could call it 24 hours a day and leave a message, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You can leave a voicemail.
All right, great.
And that number is specifically for the clinic, so that's the number you want to call if you're trying to schedule a vaccine.
Okay. All right, great. Now, one of the things that I note that you had, you put down, it's the same hygiene practices for the flu as it is for COVID. So can you remind our listeners what some of those hygiene practices are, please?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. You know, the basic recommendation is just making sure you're washing your hands really thoroughly and very often. If you're sick, stay home. Make sure you're not going out and exposing other people.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't know for sure what it is that you have, it might just be a cold. Stay home either way. You don't want to, you know, potentially give that to somebody else. Yeah, and just, you know, covering your cough, covering your sneezes, basic things.
Yeah. Now, it's not, now it sounds really easy, wash your hands, mm-hmm. but do you have the procedure for washing your hands to make it effective?
Yeah, so I think the general recommendation is washing for, like, at least 20 seconds, washing it in pretty hot water, like, as hot as you can stand to wash, and using soap.
Using soap.
Well. Yep.
That's the key word.
Yep.
Don't just rinse it under the water and think that does it. You need a little soap with that.
That's right. Do okay. a thorough job. Sing the ABCs or something
yes.
while you do it. So you.
And also, once remember, I once remember reading that it's the friction of rubbing your hands together that helps get rid of the germs and the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So, and then guess what else I read, Rachel?
What?
That, you know how in restrooms they have those blow dryers?
Yes.
Have you heard that story? How they are not really that good?
I have heard.
Okay, do you want to tell the listeners about it?
I can't confirm anything. I don't know. I don't know for sure what the actual science is.
Well, let's see if you heard what I heard.
Well, I've just heard that they're not as sanitary, maybe, as we are led to believe.
And
because
it can
kind of, like, blow germs around while your hands are under there. So,
that's what I read,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
It blows them around. They're still wet, and those little droplets can go around the air, so it's best to get paper towels if you have them.
Yeah.
Or some other method of drying them,
mm-hmm.
instead of letting them blow around.
Yeah.
Okay. I read that, too. Okay. And what other hygiene practices do you have that would work for the flu and COVID as well? Mm-hmm. And then what is RSV? Can you explain that to us?
Yes. So RSV is respiratory syncytial virus. That's another one that commonly circulates. It does circulate year-round, but another one that tends to pick up during the fall-winter season. Typically, that one is going to affect children more than it will affect adults. If adults get it, it's usually just mild cold-like symptoms. But that is one that this year we are seeing kind of an early season increase in cases of RSV. So just another one to kind of look out for. But it's not, you wouldn't necessarily do anything different if you had that as compared to if you had COVID or the flu. It's still going to be the same things, you know, stay home if you're sick, practice good hand hygiene, cover your coughs, cover your sneezes, just doing your best to protect yourself and protect other people as well.
So how would your medical provider know if it's a cold or the flu or RSV?
So there are tests for all three of them. If you were to go in to your doctor, to an urgent care or something like that, with cold-like symptoms, flu-like symptoms, they would probably, right now, they would probably be testing you for all three of those things, because we are kind of seeing all three of those circulating right now.
Does that require giving blood?
No. I think all three of them are nasal swabs, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or maybe like a throat swab.
Okay. So it wouldn't be scary for children to get it.
Yes. Yeah. It wouldn't be a blood draw.
Okay. Now, with all those services and infectious diseases, do you have somebody that goes to the school to help educate school children about these infectious diseases and encourage them to get vaccinated?
So we do have community health workers at the health department. I don't know specifically what kind of things they're doing right now, but, you know, a big piece of their job is going out to, you know, various organizations in the community, schools and things like that to educate people about sort of what's going on, what to look out for, and how to protect themselves.
Okay. Do you have any other events coming up that the public might be interested in?
Not off the top of my head, but I would have to look into it.
So would you say for individuals that might have COVID, I mean, if they have COVID, we don't recommend masking. Would you recommend they mask if they have the flu or think they have the flu or RSV? Would you recommend they mask for all of those?
Yeah, so masking can help, you know, protect yourself and protect other people against other viruses as well. So flu, RSV, other things that you might be coming into contact with right now during the fall and the winter.
And then do you have any protocol in your department about how many times you should wear it or how often you should wash your mask or dispose of it?
So the one-time use, like surgical masks that you might get at like your doctor's office or the hospital, if you go in without a mask and they just give you one, typically those are a one-time use mask. So you would use that once and then you would throw it away. If you have a cloth mask, I don't know if there's a particular recommendation on how often you wash that. I usually wash mine about once a week, once every few days.
Okay.
Or just have a lot of them on hand so you can switch them off every few days or so.
And so when you tell people to dispose of them, it doesn't mean you just take it off and drop it on the in the parking lot or drop it on the ground.
Yeah. Would recommend throwing them in the trash if there's one nearby and holding on to it until you find a trash can.
Are there any other tips or pieces of information that you'd like to share with our audience before we end this interview?
I think I've covered most of what I wanted to get through, but...
So the highlights are...
The highlights are get your flu vaccine, stay home if you're sick. You can get your flu vaccine and your COVID vaccine at the same time. So if you need both of those right now, don't be afraid to just go out one stop, get them both. Protect yourself, protect other people, stay healthy.
And it's also important that you can get them at the health department. You can get those vaccines at the health department.
Vaccines at the health department.
Free of charge, right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. And the other thing is they're not effective immediately.
Yes, yeah, that's another key point there is, you know, even if you get your flu vaccine, you get your COVID vaccine right now, it's still going to be a couple weeks before you're considered fully immune or fully protected, and those antibodies have fully developed in your system.
So you still need to take precautions yes. when you're out and about.
Yeah, okay. And that would be recommended anyway, even yes. if you are vaccinated and mm-hmm. it's been more than 2 weeks, but... Yeah, especially in that two-week time period, continue to take precautions to protect yourself because you could still be exposed during that window and potentially get the flu or COVID or something else.
Okay, I always say that Peoria is really lucky that we have the health department that provides all these free services.
Yeah.
They're vital services. I know that some of them have charges, but they're vital services they provide for the overall well-being of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that now that we're approaching the full impact of the flu season, you said it doesn't peak till about February. So do you think that in another part of the world that they're working on the next one, the next flu variant already?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's constantly being monitored. So there are people who have their eyes on it and are doing their best to develop new vaccines for even next year, you know, a year from now, what we think will be circulating at that time. So
okay. Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming and reminding us that it's flu season and that we can take precautionary steps to protect ourselves so that we don't get severely ill or possibly die, because it could happen,
mm-hmm.
and that it's available for anyone, and you can call and make an appointment and get the service,
yeah.
and that you are in the process of coming up with a new building to give us even better service.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a new building.
Yeah, it's going to be really nice.
And for those who might have missed the contact information previously, you can go to the health department website at pcchd.org and get information on an ongoing basis. Or you can call the Infectious Diseases Department directly at 309-679-6655.
So we also have a Facebook page, too.
Forget the Facebook page.
Yeah, we post frequent updates on there as well. So that's Peoria City County Health Department on Facebook.
Okay.
Yep.
So go to the Facebook page, the web page, or give Rachel a call.
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways you can
yes.
keep in touch with
yes.
us.
Yes. Efficiently and get free services.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much. You've been listening to How Do You Feel? The show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. You've been listening to Rachel Ogden, who's been giving us advice about getting the flu vaccine and why it's important. This show will air at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. And if you miss it and you know someone who can benefit from the information, it repeats on Sunday evening. If you miss either broadcast, you can still hear it on the WPNV website podcast page. You simply go to WPNV.org and look for podcasts and look for How Do You Feel? And you can listen to the show. So thank you so much for coming again.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Anytime. And we look forward to you coming back next year to update us.
Yeah, me too.
And to our radio audience, thank you so much for listening.
Now is always the right time with something positive in